وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His choicest blessings on you, Hazrat Mawlana Salim Sahab. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue taking the khidmat of deen from you. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International, edging onto the end of Ramadan, tonight we have the 28th Taraweeh and the 29th Para or Surah Mulk was recited in Taraweeh. Many ahadith testify to the virtues of the Surah. Amongst them, one is the narration of Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, which has been mentioned in Ibn Majah, Nasai, Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi Sharif. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, there are 30 verses of the Quran which will intercede for its reciter, thus he will be forgiven. The surah has also been called Al-Mani'ah and Al-Munjiyah, that is the savior of the punishment of the grave. Thus the practice of most mashayikh is that they recite the surah after Isha Salat with great punctuality. Basically, three themes are discussed in Surah Mulk. The true kingship of the heavens and the earth lies in the control of Allah. In His hands lies the system of life and death, respect and disgrace, richness and poverty, giving and taking. He is all-knowing and all-aware. He has knowledge of every atom. He has created roads in the earth for traveling. He is the being who keeps the birds flying in the air. He alone grants sustenance to all. So this theme is mentioned in different verses of the surah. And there are open and clear proofs of the existence and oneness of Allah Ta'ala. The sky acting as a roof, the bright stars found in it, the earth is a carpet, and the flowing streams all point to the existence of one wise and all-aware being. The final result of the disbelievers of the hereafter is mentioned. There is the fire of Jahannam, which will be raging in such a manner that it will seem that it is about to explode due to anger. When this punishment will be seen from a close angle, the disbelievers' faces will change, and it will be said to them, this is what you used to ask for. Then, Noon wal Qalam was also recited. So since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on the pen in the beginning of the surah, it has been called Surah Qalam. This oath makes apparent the greatness of the pen and it being a great bounty. The greatness of the pen has also been mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala narrates, the first thing which Allah ta'ala created was the pen. After being created, it was said to it, write. It asked, what should I write? So the answer was given, write taqdeer, that is whatever is going to happen. Thus the pen wrote down whatever would happen from that day till the day of judgment. Then Allah ta'ala created noon. And if you look at noon, it's just like an inkpot. It is by means of this pen that knowledge of our predecessors have been transmitted to us, and it is a means of spreading information in the whole world. In Surah Qalam, three fundamental themes have been discussed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's status and his character have been mentioned right in the beginning. Allah ta'ala takes an oath and states, that by the grace of your Rabb, you are certainly not insane, as his adversaries used to claim. Indeed, you will have a reward that will never come to an end. Verily, you are stationed on a very lofty level of character. In Muslim Sharif, Abu Dawud Sharif, and Nasa'i, a narration of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is mentioned, yet when she was asked regarding the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to which she replied, Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an, his character was the noble Qur'an. Whatever was mentioned in the Qur'an was practically found in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the second theme which has special importance in the surah is the incident of Ashabul Jannah, the people of the garden, which was famous amongst the Arabs. This garden was close to Yemen. The owner of this garden used to spend on the poor from its produce. After passing away, when his sons inherited this garden, then using their expenses and difficulties as an excuse, they planned to deprive the poor and to gather and cart away all the crops. Allah Ta'ala destroyed this garden. In this incident, there is a great lesson for those people who wish to benefit alone from their wealth. Their stinginess does not allow them to benefit anyone else with their wealth and goods. So after mentioning their exemplary parable, the surah explains the final result of the pious and asks, how can the good and evil, obedient and disobedient, loyal and traitor, ever be equal? At the end of the surah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is instructed to be patient over the difficulties inflicted by the mushrikeen, the polytheists. Then Suratul Haqqa. Al-Haqqa is one of the many surahs, the names of Qiyamah. Haqqa means that which will definitely occur. Since Allah Ta'ala's promises and warnings will definitely occur on the day of Qiyamah, this surah has been named such. The main theme of the surah is the truthfulness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The surah commences with mention of the horrors of Qiyamah and the disastrous results of nations like Thamud and Ad, and as well as Fir'aun and his people. Thereafter, the surah discusses those events which will take place before Qiyamah. That is, the trumpet will be blown, the earth and the mountains will disintegrate, the skies will split asunder, the angels will descend, and man will be completely surrounded by them. When Qiyamah takes place, man will be brought in front of Allah Ta'ala. Those who were pious will receive their book of deeds in their right hand. Due to happiness, they will show it to others. Those people who were sinners will receive their book of deeds in their left hand. With great anguish, they will exclaim, oh, if only I had not been given my book of deeds, and I had not known what my reckoning is. Alas, if only death had been my end. My wealth did not benefit me. My power has disappeared from me. Then they will be thrown into the Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned some salient qualities of the unfortunate ones. They do not believe in Allah. They do not encourage the feeding of the poor. After mentioning the consequences of the fortunate and unfortunate ones, Allah Ta'ala takes an oath on the truthfulness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran Kareem. I take an oath on that which you see and on that which you cannot see. Verily, the Quran has been brought by an honorable messenger. It is not the speech of any poet. Few are those who have conviction. So neither is it the speech of any fortune teller. Few are those of you who understand. This is a revelation from the Master of the Universe. Then Surah Ma'arij was also recited. We are informed that the disbelievers are mocking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his message. So they demand from him that he should quickly bring the punishment which is coming, so that their matter can be settled in this world before the year after. Thereafter, the surah draws a picture of Qiyamah and explains the conditions of the sinners there. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned 8 of the qualities of true musallis. They are punctual on salah. In their wealth, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقُّ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ, there is a right for those who ask and for those who do not ask. Thus, by Allah, they fulfill the right of Allah, and by zakat, they fulfill the rights of man. They testify to the day of recompense and judgment. That is, they have no doubt in its occurrence. In spite of worshipping and obeying Allah Ta'ala, they fear His punishment. They keep themselves pure from zina, adultery and fornication and other sexual indecency. They suffice from that which is permissible and do not lift their gazes towards haram, towards impermissible things. They fulfill trusts and oaths. Neither do they deceive in their trust, nor do they break their promises. They testify justly and only to that which is the truth. They perform their salah on its time and fulfill the compulsions and etiquettes of salah. Allah Ta'ala says regarding those who have such qualities, these will be honored in the gardens of Jannah. Then Surah Nuh was also recited in Taraweeh. In this surah, only the incident of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam is mentioned. He is also called Shaykhul Anbiya, since his lifespan was the most of all the Anbiya, and he was the first messenger to the people of the world after Adam alayhi salam. He invited his people to the worship and obedience of Allah Ta'ala, and in the line of calling, he exerted himself fully. He invited his people during the day and the night, covertly and openly. The more he called them, the further they turned away. So Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam advised his people to seek forgiveness, istighfar, and told them that if they sought forgiveness and abstained from sinning, Allah Ta'ala would send upon them an abundance of rain. He would grant them wealth, children, and gardens, and he would make rivers flow for them. So this shows how much ni'mat we can get just by making istighfar. Then he reminded them of Allah Ta'ala's favors. He had created the seven heavens, made the moon shine, and made the sun a bright lamp. So however, this explanation, inviting and advice, have no effect on his people. They were not prepared to leave their idols. Wad, Suwa, Yaghut, Ya'uq, and Nasr. So Nuh alayhi salam eventually made dua for their destruction, in which he said, O my Rabb, do not leave any disbeliever on the earth. His dua was accepted, and these disbelievers were destroyed in the flood. Then Surah Jinn was also recited. In this surah, reference is made to the jinns, who like humans are also subjected to Shari'i laws. So among them are believers and disbelievers, good and bad. So this surah commences by telling us that a group of jinns, they heard the Quran and they became very affected by the recitation of the noble Quran. Then Surah Muzzammil was also recited. Different aspects of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life is mentioned. His tabattul, turning only to Allah Ta'ala, his worship, obedience, standing in salah, tilawat, and his sacrifices. The name of the surah itself makes it apparent that in this surah, the personality of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is to be discussed. Muzzammil means the one covered by a sheet. So when these verses were revealed, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was lying down under a sheet. Allah Ta'ala addressed him in a loving manner. Ya ayyuhal Muzzammil, O one who is wrapped in a sheet. During the day, he would invite to deen, and during the night, he would stand for long periods in salah and would make tilawa of the noble Quran. Then Surah Muddathir was also recited, and in the beginning, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is commanded to invite to Allah Ta'ala, to warn the disbelievers and to exercise patience over their difficulties. Thereafter, the surah warns the sinners and adversaries of the punishment of that day, which will prove to be very severe upon them. Then all will be prisoners of their actions, except those whose book of deeds will be given in the right hand. On the day of Qiyamah, they will ask the sinners, what has entered you into Jahannam? They will mention four reasons. We never used to perform salah. This highlights how important it is to be punctual with salah. We would not feed the poor. We were deeply involved in assisting in deviation and falsehood. We would deny the hereafter. So at the end of the surah, we are told that the Quran is an advice. Whoever wishes can take heed of this advice. However, the decision and will of Allah Ta'ala must also be there. Then Surah Qiyamah was also recited. And as this surah indicates, this surah discusses life after death, which is one important fundamental from amongst the fundamentals of Iman. The surah mentions the difficulties, hardships and punishments of Qiyamah, and it draws a picture of man's condition at the time of death. The surah also mentions the condition, the difficulties which a disbeliever will have to face. So at the end of the surah, we are told that man has not been created in futility. It cannot happen that there is no reckoning, nor any punishment and reward. Finally, a perceptible proof is mentioned for resurrection. There is Allah Ta'ala who has created man for the first time, also has the power to create him a second time. For Allah Ta'ala to create the first and second time, there is no difference. However, here Allah Ta'ala speaks to us according to our understanding, since our thinking and experience is such that to create a second time is much more easier than creating the first time. And then Surah Wal Mursalat was also performed, was also read. Allah Ta'ala takes faith, oath saying that which you have been promised is certainly going to occur. That is the matters of Qiyamah. Reckoning and recompense will definitely come to pass, and there is no way of avoiding it. Thereafter, the surah explains some of the signs which will happen just before Qiyamah. That is, the stars will lose their light, the heavens will be split, mountains will disintegrate into small pieces which will be scattered all over, and the messengers will be brought on the appointed time. Allah Ta'ala has called Qiyamah Yawmul Fasl, the day of judgment, because on this day fair and fast judgment will be passed between creation. Then Allah Ta'ala says regarding the deniers of the day of judgment, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ, destruction on that day to the deniers. These words are repeated 10 times in the surah, and the purpose of this recitation is to create fear and to sound a warning to the listeners. So that will herald the end of this world, and then we will stand for accountability in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq and understanding. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.